You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. And we greet and welcome all you listeners wherever you are. And we're on from 12 noon until 1 o'clock every Saturday. And Donna and I co-pastor a church here in Stuart, Florida that we have for over 21 years now, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, right out of Revelation 19:10. We're honored to be here with you. We hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. If you can't, and you'd like to get a copy of what we're going to discuss today, all we ask for is a love offering, whatever the Lord would tell you, and you can make out a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries and mail it to Post Office Box 413. That's in Stuart, Florida. And our zip here is 34995, and we'll be glad to get it out to you. Just tell us what you want to take for a CD, and we'll give you either one. And so Pastor Donna's got a couple of announcements to make, and then we'll do a little teaching here today. Amen?
Amen. Well, a lot of people liked last week's program.
Right.
It was good, talking about women in ministry. And we're going to be talking about that a little bit more today.
Today.
And who knows where the Lord will lead us. We just are partners.
We were led by the Lord.
Ministry, and we're sitting here at our partner's desk, amen,
right,
with our microphone in the center. Maybe you can get a picture of us in your mind's eye, you know, facing each other, and we just kind of flow with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Well, I want to say hello to all you out there listening on Radio Land. I want to let you know also you can hear us by way of internet or your smartphone, and you can just go to WCNO.com, and you can listen to this program again. And there are many you can listen to last week's if you missed it, because last week we talked about Deborah the prophetess, amen, and the judge, not only a prophetess, but a judge as well.
For 40 years,
incredible. And she heard from the Lord, and she saved Israel, amen.
That's right.
So praise the Lord. So we're blessed to be here again this week, and I hope you will be blessed by this radio broadcast. And we want to say hello to our friends out there that listen to us from all the time or from time to time. We'll say hello to Apostle Roscoe and Audrey on Andros Island and
the
Temple
Bahamas, yeah,
of God people over there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they can listen. It's hopefully I'm praying that their computer is working and so they can listen to us. If not, you know, the radio
program. Get in the car, yeah.
The radio program goes across to the Bahamas. Isn't that wonderful?
Right.
So you can pick it up. It might be a little difficult, I guess, if there's bad weather, but it does go. And, of course, now that we're on the internet, we go anywhere and everywhere. All you have to do is find us. And once you find us, then you're stuck. Hopefully. Because we want to bring the word of truth to you. The name of this program broadcast is Raising the Standard. And that is our desire. And that is what the Lord gave us this name, that we are to raise the standard in the body of Christ. So we pray that we are doing that and that you are being blessed by it. We also have services here in Stuart, Florida. We have Sunday morning services at 10 a.m. And we have Friday night Shabbat services at 7 p.m.
Amen.
In which we also take communion. And we seek the presence of the Lord with prophetic music. after the teaching and after the communion. And, you know, some people, honey, some people stay until 11:30, 12 o'clock. And we've even stayed later at many times. So it's just a blessing. And this Saturday, we're going to be showing a video. It's about Israel.
At 4 o'clock
And we need to know about those things. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And if you can make it, I know you'll be blessed by it.
So the miracles of history and the history of Israel, yeah.
And there were a lot of miracles in the miracle in Israel. We talked about one last week.
That's right.
Uh-huh. One about, last week about Deborah. And so, and how she got heard the word from the Lord. And so they won the battle and they had peace for 40 years until somebody comes along and they start doing the wrong things again. And then they got themselves in trouble. So it's one time up, next time you're in the, seems like you're having
like a roller coaster, so up and down.
And so many bad years, you have a good king and you have a bad king. But God is always faithful when God's people obey the Lord. And so we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and we need to keep Israel in peace.
Especially
and
now, what's going on. Prayer, that's right, boy.
In prayer, and we need to know that God is doing
on their
a great
side,
work
boy.
In Israel now, and we need to know that you know the timetable is here. If we can't see it, then we're blind.
That's right.
I mean, you know, even if you don't know the prophetic word, even if you don't know the Bible, if you, you just watch the news, you see all of, you see what's going on over there in Israel and all around about Israel, how the enemy is trying to, their purpose is to wipe them off of the map. And that's not going to happen because God says it's not going to happen. And God's word is going to come to pass. Amen. So we do have services here. So if you can make it, that's fine. If you'd like a calendar or you'd like some information about the church, just give us a call and we'd be glad to send you that information. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you our telephone number. I'll give it to you now up front and then we'll give it to you again just before we close. So get your pen and pencil, pen or pencil handy. It's area code 772-285-7007. And I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007.
That's a good
praise
number.
The Lord. It's a good number.
We're 007 agents for the Lord.
It's God's number. Amen. We are 007 agents for the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And we're a team ministry.
Right.
Amen. And we've been on this radio broadcast now for
17 years. That's right.
So I pray that we have been a blessing to you out there. And just give us a call and let us know that you're listening and you enjoy the program. And if you want to talk to Pastor Gene or myself, we'd be glad to talk to you. Just call that phone number. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Remember, if you'd like to get a copy of what we're going to do today, all we ask you to do is make out a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries as a love offering and mail it to Post Office Box 14, 413 or 413.
413.
Help you remember, 413 or 413. And that's in Stuart, Florida. And our zip is 34995. And we'll be glad to get it out to you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
We offer a book that I've written over quite a few years ago about the prophetic calendar and pictures of the Messiah. We offer that for $25 love offering and about $2 or $3 for shipping. And we'd be glad to get that out to you as well.
Amen.
If you'd like to have it, you'll learn a lot about the things that we, the church has been robbed of over the years.
That's right.
And it's about the things that God gave Israel. And then we're part of Israel now, so we need to embrace those things. And we're not going to change to a Jewish lifestyle completely and all that, but we're going to honor and embrace the appointed times that God puts in place. We teach and train on it and talk about it every year when these seasons come around. Here we are. We're almost through the end of the month of Tammuz, and we'll be coming into the month of Av pretty soon. And so we honor all these times when they come around on God's prophetic calendar. So we hope
Amen.
You can stay tuned in for this whole time that we're on. And basically, we talked about Deborah last week. We talked about women. One other time we talked about someone, we talked about Ruth and Naomi, and we've talked about Esther many times. And so I thought we'd do something here a little different today. We'd get into the New Testament. And there's a lot of beliefs in a lot of the denominational churches that women are not to be behind a pulpit. They're not to teach men. They're delegated to women's ministry and taking care of the children and doing those things. And so I want to kind of shoot that cow a little bit here today as we look at the scriptures, because it just, a lot of stuff's been misinterpreted because we don't know the mannerisms, the customs, the things that were going on in a particular time when the Bible was written, and we're trying to bring that into today and put that on women.
Shoot
and
so, him dead.
And shoot it, yeah, that's
well,
right.
We talked about Deborah last week, and you know what? There's more grace I believe now than even than there was back then with women. Women
sure.
have more...
they've been set free
set
by Jesus.
Free,
that's
right. Right. Respect, hopefully.
That's right.
At least amongst women, maybe not so much about amongst some men. But, you know, I think that's that. Thank God that you have a mind. You have had a mind change.
I never had a mind the other way.
Not that you've ever felt the other way. But, you know the truth. The Bible says when you know the truth, it will make you free. And this is another topic that you have studied very much into depth.
Yeah.
And so because we believe in women in ministry and we ordain and license women in ministry. And we have women in our ministry.
That's right.
And so, you know, women can be, they can be a deacon, they can be an elder, they can be a pastor. Whoa,
right.
Some people are saying, oh boy,
oh,
I don't
boy.
Like what they're
I
saying.
I don't know about that, yeah.
Well, just stay with the program and listen to the whole teaching. Don't judge it before you hear everything, okay?
Now, one thing somebody might be thinking right now is, well, then why did Jesus send out his disciples and they were all men? Well, he taught, trained, and activated them. But look at all the women that followed him, and they were the ones that really ministered him personally. But think about this. In that day, the women were really, they didn't have a chance to go to school and learn the things that the men did at that particular time. They were housewives, and, you know, they were mothers and all that. But when Jesus came, what happened? They were set free, and you read through the book of Acts, you find out they were used a lot. And so,
well, look at Martha and Mary. You know, even Jesus spoke there about them, you know.
That's right.
One was busy about tending and fixing food, and all the other one was busy about hearing the word. So they were being taught. Women, many women were being taught at Jesus' feet.
That's right.
And there were women in the upper room. And when the Holy Ghost came and the 120 people, and, you know, the Holy Ghost, they were baptized in the Holy Ghost.
There, the mother of Jesus was there, so she was a female, and she got baptized with the Holy Ghost also.
That's right. It says that she was there.
So,
you know, there's a lot of disbeliefs, but what we need to do is let's get into the Word, and let's see what the Bible says about women.
Now, I'm going to use the King James Version Bible. It's the only Bible that we use. A lot of these other Bibles mistranslate things. They have different words, and they change things around. But we want you to know the truth, because the Bible says, Jesus said, the truth will make you free. Now, what I want to do with this, we're going to try to show you some things here. And now you can either believe this or you don't. But I'm going to ask you to open your heart and listen to this, because we've had phone calls from time to time over our 17 years that said that Pastor Donna shouldn't be on this program teaching anything with me. But see, that's not true. And we know the Bible, Paul said that God's going to use anyone that he calls that's willing, male or female, he'll use them mightily in his work. And so Deborah was willing
Amen.
To do it. So let's do this. I want us to do this. We're going to talk about some things about the mannerisms and the customs also in Israel. Maybe you need to do that up front, Pastor Don. Don and I went to Israel back in 2003, and I was unaware then of a lot of things about the Jewish thought and all that and how they do things. And so here we were in Israel, and we went down to the Western Wall, and we thought that her and I both could walk down to the Western Wall and pray together. And they said, no, they stopped us. The women had to be on one side and the men on the other. And so I asked this one lady, and it stopped us. I said, well, why is that so? And she mentioned a couple things. And one thing was that a woman that would go down with us, she might be having her period. That meant she was unclean. She shouldn't be there. Okay. And the other reason was that the men might be looking at the women instead of thinking about God and all this. And so just all these, you know, funny things that they think about that would hinder. But that's the way it is. And the Jewish synagogues in Israel also, if you went, the women would sit on one side and the men on the other side. And so we have to understand the mannerisms and the
mm-hmm.
customs.
That's
even
right.
though it was like that in Jesus' day, they're still doing it over in Israel today, okay? Except in the Messianic congregations.
That's
they don't
right.
do that, okay? Because the women have been set or made free, okay? So let's keep that in mind as we talk about this. Now, where I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to show you something here. And then we'll go over to chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. Now, I'm going to start in verse 2 of chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. It says this. Paul says, now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. He gave them instructions. Now, listen to this. We're going to see a hierarchy with the Godhead. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is who? Is Christ. He's the head, okay? All right. And the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Now, remember, the head of a woman is not just any man, okay?
Her husband.
Only.
All
right? A woman, this woman here, the Greek word for woman can mean a woman or a wife. And this is the word gune. This is referring to a wife. the head of the wife is what? Is the husband, Aner, or it can be a man, but this is Aner. Woman is the man. I'm sorry. The head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God.
Well, so let's get a straight, Pastor Gene, because you know a lot of people would say, "Yeah, woman and woman, a man and man." No,
nope.
We do not.
A woman does not have to submit to any man that comes along, even to men in the church.
That's right.
The only one she's to submit to, we're going to find out, is her husband. So look at this again.
And the only one a woman is married to is a man.
That's right. That's right. A man.
Let's make that quite clear.
That's right. But I would have you to know that the head of every man, okay, or it would say every husband, but it's also true of every man, is what? Is Christ. And the head, okay, of the woman, which is the real, this is talking about a wife, is what? Is the man or the husband, and the head of Christ is what?
God.
So God has a Godhead, doesn't he? The God, the Father, and the Son. Now listen to this. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, is dishonoreth his head. Now listen to this. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. Who's her head? Her husband. For that is even all as one as if she were shaven, okay? For if a woman be not covered, let her be also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. So what happened in this day? There was a cult in Corinth. These women were coming out of a cult where they shaved their heads and they had priestesses, okay? They had a sexual connotation to all their religious services and all that. And they were coming into the church, okay? And they were accepting Christ. And so Paul had to lay down some instructions. So they had to keep their heads covered until their hair grew out.
Weren't they coming from cults, false doctrine, false religions? And they were inhaling these fumes.
All kinds of stuff.
And
yeah.
They were prophesying, not from God, but from the enemy, from the devil. I mean, it was all these people who are getting saved, and here they're coming into the church, and their head is shaved.
That's right.
So Paul's saying, cover your head until your hair grows out, because the hair is what? The glory of a woman.
That's right. It tells you that in verse 15. But if a woman have long hair, it is glory to her, for her hair is given her for what? A covering.
So right there shows you, your hair is your covering.
Right.
But if your head is shaved, you have no covering, so you have to put on a scarf, put something on your head.
That's right.
And be covered.
Let's go on now. Verse 8 says, for the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Hear that?
That's right.
Man came by woman. Amen. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause, this is the key verse also, for this cause ought the woman, or this would be the wife here, to have power over her head because of the angels. Well, who's the power is authority over her head? On her power should be revealed by what she covers her head with, revealing the authority of her head. Who's her head? Her husband.
Because the angels looked in, didn't they?
That's right.
The angels
so it
watched.
Shows you right here, if a woman had her head covered, her head was shaved, she could what? She could pray and prophesy, as it says right here in verse 4. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth. So they're doing this with her hair uncovered, dishonoreth her head, which is her husband. So if she was doing the right thing with her head covered, she could prophesy and what? And pray in the church.
And you know, I don't have a problem about putting a veil over my head. I have long hair, and when we have Shabbat on Fridays, mm-hmm. you know, I put a tallit or a veil over my head, and there's nothing wrong with a woman putting a tallit over her head. Now, only in past days, Jewish people would do that, but we have people in our church that will put a veil or a tallit over their head, and some put nothing over their head. And, you know, we have freedom.
That's right. But today, you think about it, even in Israel, I didn't see one woman with a tallit on anywhere.
No, they don't wear them.
Allowed to wear them. But mm-hmm. Jesus is what made us free, and the women are free also.
That's right.
Now let's go over to 1 Corinthians 14 and look at some 14 and see some other scriptures. It's been totally taken out of context and all that. And keeping in mind what I told you up front, how the women sit on one side of the congregation and the men on the other while someone's speaking.
And they still do that.
That's right.
In some places, and mm-hmm. even in the United States, in some Jewish synagogues, they sit like that.
Right. Now, for time's sake here, I want to go to, 1 Corinthians 14. Let's start in verse 33. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
It says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Now, thinking
Amen.
About confusion, I could think about this. If I was a pastor, as I am, and I opened up on Sunday morning or on a Friday Shabbat or whatever, and open my Bible up, and I have a King James Bible, and let's say there was 15 people or 20 people out there that had other translations that didn't match what I was reading. What will that bring to the congregation? You ready for this?
Confusion.
It's, right. It's confusion. The words have changed. They mean something different, and we have a problem, don't we? So it says right here, God is not the author of confusion. So when I look at this and look through this with a King James Bible, I don't care what man says. I want to believe what God has to say.
We're also told not to take any words out or add any words.
You got it. So he says right here that this is true. God is not an author of confusion. He doesn't want confusion.
That's right.
But of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Now here we go. These are the verses that's got the situation with many denominations today with women. Let your women keep silence in the churches. Now this word silence right here means to be quiet. It does. It means to be silent. This right part, okay? For it is not permitted unto them, what? To speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. So this word here, it says they're not permitted to speak, also means they need to be quiet. They're not supposed to be speaking. Now listen to this. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law or the Torah. Well, who are they under obedience to? Just any man? Their obedience is unto their husband. Okay?
Amen.
Now let's go on now. And if they will learn anything, listen to this now, let them ask their husbands at home. So this is telling you what this is all about. For it is a shame for women to speak in the church. Now this word speak in verse 34 is a different Greek word than the word speak in verse 35. All right? So let's read this again. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it's not permitted unto them to speak. It means to speak out loud, okay? But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law or the Torah. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands. So the word women up here in verse 34 is referring to what? Wives.
A wife.
Wife. Now, to ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for women, okay? Now this women here is what? Not just any woman. This is a wife. Why? To speak in the church. In other words, to speak. This word speak here means to be speaking out, and it's incoherent. Nobody can really understand what they're doing. It's like chatter in the church. Paul says, be quiet, because that's going to bring confusion, as we read in verse 33, okay?
Well, and let's remember also that they weren't trained at that time. They
that's right.
They weren't trained in the things of the Torah.
They're wanting to find out.
I mean, some women probably were. I mean, they knew the word, but most of them didn't know. And so what would they do in the church? They would be asking their husbands
across the aisle.
Across the aisle. And so that would cause
confusion. Across
the
room.
And it happens in churches today. Yeah. Women are talking to women. Men are talking to men. You know, they're rude. It's just rude to the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's rude to the Lord. And people still do that today. They talk in church and they shouldn't talk in church. We should be we shouldn't be reverent. We should be
listening. And ask the questions later.
We should, if there's a Bible study, you know, we have a discussion.
And here it told them to ask their husbands at home.
Right, but I'm saying now if we're in the church and, you know, we have women, maybe you have women and they don't have a husband. A lot of women who go to church, they don't have a husband. And they want to learn. So what do? We have a Bible study, and then you have a time of discussion, and we allow people to ask questions.
That's right.
And so then we answer the questions. You know,
that's
we're talking about Bible things, but we don't interrupt during a message
because it brings
confusion, and it breaks the flow
of
the Holy Ghost and what the pastor or the teacher is trying to bring across.
That's right. Now then Paul says in verse 36, this is interesting, he says, what? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? Well, it came for all of us, didn't it? Now look at this. He says now in verse 37, if any man, now you can look this word man up, this is the word anthropos. It doesn't mean woman or male, it means what? Mankind. So if any man or woman, think himself or herself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him, what, acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are what? Are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man, here's our word again, the word anthropos.
Which means male or female.
Right, be ignorant, let him be ignorant.
Ignorant.
So Paul kept talking in the sense about men because he knew they were the ones that were being taught in that day. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. We got that going on today. That shouldn't be done, they tell you, but it's not true. Let all things be done decently and in order. Now, if you're not doing anything, how can it be out of order if you don't know what order is? Now, this is where we got in trouble in the churches today about women. They're not supposed to speak. Well, this is taken out of context, okay?
But as we talked last week, women prophesy, right?
That's right.
And this we're talking about male and female, even children, because it talks about your children will prophesy.
That's right.
And have dreams and visions.
Mm-hmm.
So here we're talking about, it says to covet. See, people say, well, you're not supposed to covet anything. Well, the Bible says to covet to prophesy.
Earnestly desire, in other
Everybody
words.
Can prophesy.
That's right.
One by one. And forbid not to speak with tongues. We're not to forbid people from speaking in tongues. And there's some churches, well, I believe in speaking in tongues, but we're not going to speak in tongues in this church. See, that they're taking it all out of
context.
And you know what else it does? It weakens the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost. Because God wants us to be able to pray in tongues.
That's
he
right.
wants us to pray in tongues and pray in the tongues and pray in the understanding. It also talks about that here. We're supposed to, he says, to sing in the spirit and to also sing in the understanding.
Amen.
So, you know, that's the moving of the Holy Ghost. So what it does, if you forbid that, then what you're doing is you're quenching the Holy Spirit. And we're warned not to quench the
Holy
Spirit.
We're blaspheming the Holy Ghost when we do that.
We're blaspheming. So he says, let all things be done. Well, how can you do anything if you're not going to allow it to be done?
That's right.
How can you do it decently in order? Well, you know, church is a place to learn and place to practice and a place to, get your instructions, teaching and instructions of the Lord on these things about the Holy Ghost and about prophesying and all.
That's right.
And so if we don't allow anything to be done, then, you know, people will be afraid to do anything out in the highways and byways.
That's
you know,
right.
God wants you to, who knows, he might send somebody across your path and you have a word for that person.
That's right.
And it might do something in their life and turn their whole life around.
But it's a shame. These two verses, verse 34 and 35, have just hampered women completely from doing anything. And I like verse 31. For ye, it means you all, may all prophesy one by one that all may learn and all may be comforted. That means male and female. Now,
that's
we've
right.
covered this.
Male and female.
These are the two verses that cause a lot of problems.
Now, it says here, and then the next verse, it says, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets.
That's right. Now, we need to go over to, I want to go over to 1 Timothy now, and we're going to show you where some more misunderstanding comes with all out of this. And I don't know why we have all this, but we do.
So we have to take
because
it.
We haven't separated the word woman or women from wives and wife, okay? A wife, okay?
So we have to look through the Bible and see what it says.
See what it
everywhere
says.
And look at some examples
That's right.
of some women in the ministry, women in the New Testament.
That's right.
Like you said, we talked about last week, Aquila and Priscilla.
They worked together as a team.
Team ministry, and
That's
they
right.
worked together as a team. And sometimes his name is first, sometimes her name is first. And they were team ministry.
They sure were. They walked side by side and
they
accomplished all things.
That's right. And how can anybody walk together if they're not in agreement?
That's right.
You can't.
Okay. I'm thinking about this. We're going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, but I want to read Philippians chapter 4. Verse 2 and 3. Listen to this. I beseech you, Euodias, and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Now listen to this. And entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, okay, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and I say rejoice. Amen?
So he calls them yoke fellows.
They're yoke fellows.
They're team ministry. They work together, to help and to assist in the gospel
All
of
right.
Christ. Amen.
Now let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll see another thing that's been added to the thorns that's been stuck in women's sides for so many years that they are not allowed to do these things.
You know, the devil doesn't like women.
That's right.
And he wants to shut them up.
That's right. Because see, he knows in the beginning he was able to deceive them,
mm-hmm.
and the first thing that he presented them with was to question God's word. So what we're showing you here, we're not going to question God's word. We want to do what God's word says, okay? And so we have to apply the things that God's put in place and to show us the doctrines and the things we need to keep in place, amen? So let's do this. I want to start in verse 7 of chapter 2 of 1 Timothy. Listen to this. Paul says, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle,
mm-hmm.
I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Now here we go. I will therefore, this is my purpose, I will with all of you men, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Now listen to this. It says, in like manner. That means also the women do the same thing.
In like manner.
Like manner, lifting up holy hands and all that, okay? To worship God. In like manner also the women adorn themselves in what? Modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair, gold or pearls or costly array and all that. So God's telling us we don't look at what how they appear. Don't dress that you're going to cause a stumbling block for somebody, but you just look a normal way as a wife should look and a woman. And it says, verse 10, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Now this women here can mean mainly what? It can mean women, but also it can be a woman, but also it can be a wife, okay?
You know, a lot of people kind of just read over that part
sure
where
do.
It says, in like manner also.
That's right.
There's a comma there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's telling me, in like manner also, you do also what it says in verse 8.
About the
women,
men.
You do what it says in like manner also, you do what it says in verse 8. That men, that the people would lift their holy hands, see, we're to have clean hands, without wrath and doubting in your prayers. So, and then he goes on and tells the women
about how they dress.
What's decent. Be,
that's right.
Be, you know, look nice, be decent. Don't be looking showy or where you're trying to go out there and attract somebody, a man, especially a man. You know, look the part. Look,
that's right.
Have a Christian walk. You look at the church in today. You go in the church today and you see people sitting in their chairs and their skirts up to their almost their underwear.
Midway thought,
some places,
yeah.
Not in our church, thank
yeah.
God. But I mean, I've been many places and seen it on television,
and
on Christian
television.
TV.
That's right.
And they're just not dressed. The dresses are too low in the front.
It's not becoming.
It's not modest.
That's right.
So he says here, the main word here, I believe, is just to be modest.
That's
in
right.
Modest apparel. And don't be, you know, don't be shamefaced. You don't put all this garbage on your face so you look like a gypsy
Or a harlot.
Maybe that's not the right word to use. Or, you know, a harlot. Or you don't look like you're just, you know, you look nice, but you don't want to look like you're out there, you know, hunting for a man.
That's right. And then verse 10 says what? But which becometh women professing godliness. Okay, and wives as well. What? With good works, okay?
That's right.
And then once he gets through there, he talks about they pray like the men do with their holy hands. And then he talks about them dressing modestly, as Pastor Donna said.
Right.
And then all of a sudden he says, then let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. Now here's this word again.
Silence again.
Now, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. Now, that means she's subjected to somebody. But
her
listen
husband.
To that. The only one a woman is subjected to is what Pastor Don just said. It's her husband. So this woman here, it doesn't just mean any woman. It's talking about a wife. We're talking about a wife. This is the word gune. It can be woman or wife. In this context right here, with the ABCs, we got always based on context, it's talking about a wife. Let a wife learn in what? Silence with all subjection to who? To her husband, not just any man. Now, the little word silence is important here. It's a word that means that they're going to have a quiet and tranquil spirit. That's what this word means. If you look it up with the grammar and with the Greek definition of the word that the translators put in here, let the woman learn in what? In silence, with a tranquil and quiet spirit, with all subjection to what? To her husband, all right?
And you know what I think about, Pastor Gene, bringing this into today in the church? Women like to talk.
Yeah.
And they talk a lot more than men do, most likely.
Yeah.
At least they say that.
They do.
Need 10,000 words
a day. It's obvious they do.
Or whatever.
Yeah, most of them do.
Not me, thank you, Lord. I would have a horse throat. But, you know, I think about this. You know, these women, all of a sudden, now they're free.
That's right.
All of a sudden, they're going to church. You know,
and they're learning that they didn't know things.
And they're with men, and they're hungry, and they want to know more. And so it's knowing women, you know, you can see why they would be a little bit excited about knowing these things. So he's saying, you know, calm down, women, you know, calm down. You know, we'll teach you, but you know, you have to come down and get into the right authority and everything, you know. And you can't be so outgoing, you know, because
right.
Even today, women are outgoing and many times.
And overbearing sometimes.
And overbearing sometimes.
That's
and,
right.
You know, and God loves women. I know that.
Yeah.
And he's made us that way. But, you know, he made us the way we are. But we need to learn how to quiet ourselves down and to be, to doing things in the right time, at the right place, and just learn how to learn the proper way of how to act, you know, and not be so excitable.
It's too bad that when Paul wrote to Timothy, like in verse 9 here, when he referred to about the women adorning themselves in modest apparel, it's too bad he didn't distinguish this word gune. He could have mentioned to women and also to wives, but he just used the word women in general, okay?
And also, you know, women are supposed to say, but I suffer a woman not to teach. nor to usurp. Now, this is important. Nor to usurp authority over a man. You know, and even in the church, you see, you know, men, of course, men and women are attracted to each other, right? But, you know, you can do the wrong things. There's the wrong way of hugging somebody.
That's right.
You know, if you're going to hug a man, a woman's going to hug a man, or vice versa. You know, that can be done the wrong way.
That's right. Sure can.
And so then, you know, it can become even flirtatious. So we need to be under the authority of our husband.
That's right.
It says, but to be in silence. We're to be under his authority. We're not to be flirtatious, and we're not allowed to allow men to take advantage of us.
That's right.
I mean, how do you think all of these sexual things happen in the church? And mm-hmm. even in our area where we live, we know of situations and pastors
right.
where sexual things have happened, and it's wrong. What does it do? It destroys a church. It
That's
will
right.
absolutely destroy a church. It will destroy a ministry. When a pastor has counsel with a woman, you never counsel a woman alone.
Nope.
Never. You never have.
Wouldn't do it without you.
And you never would. We counsel people together. Now, I don't have a problem. He counsel a man. That's fine. Maybe I don't need to be in there when he's counsel a man, or I can counsel a woman.
That's right.
But he's not going to ever sit down in an office and counsel
by himself
counsel
with a closed door.
Woman,
yeah.
Or even with the open door.
That's right.
We don't do that. And so, you know, you've got to protect yourself.
That's right.
Because, you know, the devil, he will come in. He comes in to steal, kill, and destroy. And he'll use any method at all, you know. And men are very visual. And
that's
so
right.
if they happen to be counseling some woman that's having a problem with her husband or whatever other problem it might be, you know, there could be an attraction there. And then you know what happens when you think about something. You eventually get around to doing it.
That's what James said, yes.
Yeah, so you got to protect yourself. Men have to protect themselves from this.
And over women, and over and over in history.
And women have to protect themselves too, because we've talked to a lot of women that have been really terribly hurt because of this, because they've trusted
a pastor. Yeah.
They've trusted him,
yeah.
And they've trusted him in almost in too much of a way, and they have fallen into sin.
That's right. You got it.
Sexual sin.
Yeah, you know, some people, not just women, but a lot of people look up to their pastor. They think everything they say has got to be exact truth, you know. Well, some of the things they tell you may not be truth, and so we have to have discerning in all this. And we know that women are supposed to be what? Very careful. They should walk a chaste life and when they're single and when they're married both. And so they don't want to compromise that position any way, shape, or form
right.
with some other man if it's not their
and
husband.
And if the enemy is working through a man can easily persuade a woman. Because women can be easily deceived.
That's so we're going to find this out in a moment. Let's read on down here now. Let's finish this up. Now, we just read verse 11 about the wife.
Mm-hmm.
Had
we
to learn.
Read 12
and we have to talk about her quiet and tranquil spirit and all subjection to her husband. Then it says, but I suffer not. Suffer not means I do not allow. What? Now, this is referring to a wife now, okay? It doesn't mean just any woman. A wife, what? To teach or to usurp authority over the man, which this man is what? Her husband, but to be in silence, to be have that quiet and tranquil spirit. That's what he's telling
her.
She's
there. Teaching her husband.
That's right. And it's not that they just have to shut up, they can't say anything. It's incredible, okay?
It's but to this be overpowering.
Is, that's right.
You know,
but this is how this has been interpreted. I don't understand this,
right.
but this is how this has been interpreted. It's incredible. And so this has hindered women between 1 Corinthians 14 and this. Well, then they say, well, they can't say anything. But let's read on and see why all this happens.
You know, but a woman could, and we've seen only by experience, I could say, you know, there's a lot of women that are more spiritual than men.
Well, there's a lot of them like
and
that.
And there's a lot of wives that are more spiritual than men. And a man,
and their
will
husband,
get,
yeah.
and a man, the husband will get saved, and he doesn't know the Bible.
Nope.
Well, you know, if a woman has the right spirit about her, you know, she's not usurping authority.
That's right.
But they discuss it and they're talking about it. Maybe they're reading the Word of God. You know, women can read now.
That's right.
Women go to college now. Women aren't told they can't do
back in those
things.
Days, they weren't supposed to be doing that, right?
Right. We're free. Jesus
that's right.
set us free.
Amen.
And that's what we need. That's the main thing. Jesus set us free.
That's
he
right.
set us all free. Men, no, male and female.
Women could go to Bible school just like a man
That's
can.
That's right. So if a husband doesn't know the Bible as well as his wife, and we've had examples of that people in our church, they're reading the Bible together and they're learning, and you know, men could pick it up real quick because it just comes alive. I can think of a few examples. So the woman's not usurping the authority, But they're reading the Word of God together. They're talking about it. They're discussing
questions.
Asking questions.
Sure.
And it's not like an overpowering thing. Oh, I know more than you do. Oh, I'm spiritual and you're not. You're just stupid. No, it's not that. It's not like that. It's a godly way. It's a godly way you do things.
So a lot of women help their husbands that don't know a lot to come to that place to get deeper with the Lord. That's what they do.
Right, and if the man, if the husband thinks that his wife is, oh, she's the, oh, and I've heard many men have told me this.
Yeah.
Oh, she's the spiritual one. Go ask her.
Yeah.
She's the spiritual one. Well, see, why does a man feel that way? Because they've maybe been put down. Maybe they have a bad thoughts about themselves, you know, who knows, could be a lot of reasons. So, but, you know, see, a lot of men think that, oh, she's more spiritual. Well, that's a lie from the enemy, because
right.
We're all spirit. We are all spirit, and
so,
we can all be spiritual.
So women in that place that, you know, maybe gets married to a man that's born again, maybe a few months in the Lord or a year, doesn't know a lot about the Bible, and yet maybe the wife's been serving the Lord for a lot of years, has a lot of knowledge, so she can sit down with a quiet and tranquil spirit with her husband, open up the Bible, mm-hmm. as Pastor Donna said, and they can talk about some things. We've got several couples in our church that do that, and they discuss things. And the men that are kind of backward a little bit in the spiritual things, they begin to grow into those things.
They'll grow into those things.
So it doesn't mean that she's usurping the authority completely. She doesn't do that. But she has to walk in that tranquil spirit with her husband.
And what about a woman who falls in love with a guy and he's not born again very long? She's been
That's
in the
right.
Lord for a long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's trying to sell himself to her.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he wants her, right? And so he acts spiritual, or he goes to church with her. And then once they're married, you know, he kind of pulls back. And
yeah.
You can just tell it. You can just feel it. You can see it.
That's right.
That, you know, he's just not there. He's
nope.
just somewhere else. And that's not where he really wants to be. He's doing it for her, but then sometimes he gets to the place where he won't even do it.
That's
go
right.
to church anymore for her.
Yep. The hunger has to come.
The hunger. It has to be a hunger from the Holy Ghost, from the Lord.
That's right.
So now we're in verse 13.
I can't remember when we got saved, but we got saved on the same day. But
you got serious with God.
I didn't know anything about the Word of God, but I got hungry. I wanted to find out all I could, you know.
I know you got hungry, but I think you really got, yours was more serious, because you are a serious person. I mean, you want to find something out. You go to the longest, deepest depths to find it out. Search out a matter, it says, to search out a matter,
yeah.
right? So, you know, you were determined to find out more about the Word of God.
And we were blessed also, the week that we got saved, the next week, we got into a two-year Bible school down south in the church.
Right,
we went
right.
to a big church down there.
Right.
You and I together, and we both grew by leaps and bounds by knowing the Word of God.
We did, and you finally took your place as the priest, and not even really knowing it. I don't think
That's
you
right.
even knew the Word of God about being the priest.
No, I didn't.
And you just finally took that place, and because you said we got saved on a Sunday night.
That's right.
And I had been sick for some time, and I was born again before that, but I just backslid because you wouldn't go to church with me. You know, not a very good excuse for me not going to church.
That's right.
But you said after the next day, you said, we're going to Bible school. Was it 1 week already?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you said, we got to go this week. We're going to go to Bible school.
One week's grace.
We went to Bible school every single Tuesday.
For 2 years,
except
in the summertime.
I mean, we were in church. Never in church. First, we were never in church. Then
we
were in church
all the
Sunday
time.
Sunday morning, Sunday night, Bible school.
On Friday night sometimes.
And Thursday night, they had weekly ministry, and Friday night they had weekly ministry. So we were in church 4 or 5. We went twice on Sunday.
That's right.
4 or 5 days a week.
We were in
and
church.
We went from doing nothing to doing a lot, you know.
Came our
to
whole
doing
life.
A lot. And from never tithing to tithing over just wanting to just give, wanting to catch up, you know. And so it's just like it was like day and night. But I told you, I'm not going to Bible school.
Yeah.
I told you, and you said to me, you said, yes, you are. We're
the
both
Lord
going.
The Lord told me you're going.
We're both going to Bible school.
That's right.
He says, the Lord told me. I says, oh, yeah? And so, well, yeah, I went to Bible school at the same time he did. But what a blessing. What
so
if
she
I
submitted to my what I heard
what
from
if
the
I
Lord.
Wouldn't have
That's
submitted
right.
to you.
That,
you know?
It had been out of order, wouldn't it?
It would have been out of order.
That's right.
And so, I thank God, it was God's timing. I submitted to you. I wasn't, you know, bullheaded or stubborn. I said, okay, you know, if you say so. So we went, and I had to go back to school again. Study, read,
That's right.
read, take tests, you know, go into, and we had to pay for it.
That's right.
We do free Bible school and different classes. And people, when people get it for free, they don't really press in. A few do sometimes,
but most of them don't.
If they're really hungry, right. They do.
But see, the thing is, the church has taken this verse 11 and 12 now, and they brought this into the church talking about eldership and the deacons and all that, that women have to submit to all that, okay? But now, their husband is who they submit to, and if they're walking together with him the right way, and he's the head, mm-hmm. Well, the rest of this don't have to be concerned at all, because the man happens to be picked as an elder, or the woman can be an elder also. Well, what? They'll walk together in that position that God's called them to be. If they're deacons, whatever it may be.
Can a woman be a pastor?
Sure, she can be a pastor, but we hear that. They can't be.
I think about that woman on TV I like so well, and she's like in her...
Jimenez. Her husband died?
Her husband passed away.
She took the church over?
I love to hear her. She's like dynamite.
She's anointed, I'm telling you.
And she must be in her 80s.
Right.
She is a powerhouse.
She sure
is. And she knows the Word of God like nobody's business.
Sure. I think about, here's another people listening to Joyce Meyer. Here she got saved and all that. And, her husband now, she recognizes him as the head in their marriage. But now God has called her to teach and all that. And you know what his call is to support her. And he's like an elder there with him, but he supports what she's doing and gets a lot of things done, and so he's behind her 100%. So they're working together. How about Smith Wigglesworth? His wife for years did all the preaching. When he got saved and got through all of his troubles, well, then she turned it over to him. He became the high priest, and then she began to serve him. And look what God did with it. And so it's not a man or a woman thing. It's whatever God, whoever God,
whoever
he calls, he chooses, well, then we have to what? We have to accept that.
And you can't put it in a box. You can't say, well, is this women have to do this, and men have to do this, and there's never already a crossover. No, it's not true.
That's right.
So we're going to finish reading this chapter?
Yeah, now we want to see why all this was put in place. Verse 13 says this, for Adam was first formed, and then what?
Then
Eve, because he needed a helpmeet. And then it says that Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was what? In the transgression. She was deceived by the devil of questioning God's word. See, we don't want to question God's word. Now listen to this. He says, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they what? Continue in faith and charity and holiness with what? Sobriety. What does sobriety mean here? It means with what? Self-control and doing the right things. It's incredible, amen? Now here's another interesting thing for you before we stop here.
I always wondered why she says she'll be saved in childbearing.
Well, maybe.
I think that means that she'll be able to have the child and she'll be saved. Because childbearing is
not
an
easy
thing.
That's right. Now, chapter 3, verse 1.
I don't think it has to do with her salvation. I don't know.
Nope, I don't think so either.
She'll be saved in childbearing.
If she's walking with the Lord, I think it's going to help her with her childbearing as well.
If they continue in faith. And I know women who have really stood on in faith about having their baby, and it happened, didn't have a lot of pain, and they were able to have those babies just pop them out,
That's right. Remember the lady we used to take to church in Fort Lauderdale years ago? She's passed away now. She had, I don't know how many babies, they were all over 10 pounds. She had them at home, okay?
Amen. Okay. Praise God.
All right, let's go on now. I want to just look at chapter 3, verse 1. This is a true saying, Paul says, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Now, you see that word man there? If you look it up in the Greek, this was translated,
mankind.
It's the word anthropos, which means mankind. But see, the men were the predominant ones in those days because the women didn't have an opportunity to be taught, trained, and activated to do these things. But we know the Bible talks about deaconesses in the Bible, doesn't it?
That's right. Now somebody's going to ask you, how do you know it means mankind?
Look up the word. If you got a Greek text, look it up. It's
the
word anthropos.
And you're in the concordance?
Well, you're not a concordance. You look it up in Webster, not Webster's.
Greek?
Yeah, the Greek. You look up Strong's Concordance, it'll tell you what it means,
okay.
The word. It's the word anthropos, which means mankind in general, okay? But at this time, the men were predominant because the women had not been totally set free to be able to be taught, trained, and activated and to move into those offices that God would want them to
know. There's so many things we can say about women in here, especially some of the ones that ministered and to Jesus and all these others. We're not going to really have time to get it. We may have to do this another week,
right.
Pastor Gene.
Let me show you one other thing. If you go over to, let's go to Romans chapter 16.
Are you going to read anything else in chapter 3 here?
No, I think that's it for now.
Okay.
But as Paul closes out Romans, as he wrote this letter to the Roman church, he salutes all these people in the church by name.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
praise the Lord.
There's one thing we want you to know here, very, very interesting to note here, okay? Because we have most people in the church and denominations don't believe that the church has apostles and prophets today. They've been done away with. The Bible doesn't say that. Well, then especially a woman. Can a woman be an apostle and a prophet? They say, no way. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says they are. We mentioned Priscilla and Aquila, okay? They were apostles together working in the Lord. Amen? Now, think about our couple we support on Andros Island, Roscoe and Audrey Walks, okay? Roscoe's the apostolic man. He's the one that's got the call in his life. His wife is a prophetess, okay? But what are they? They're an apostolic and prophetic ministry that God has called for this time in this season on the island of Andros. And so they're walking in that, not ashamed of it in any way, shape, or form, but believing that God has not done away with this, because I can't find one verse where it says God did away with it. This was man's thought. But look at this. As he closes out the letter, let's look at this. I'm going to start in verse 4. Who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Now here goes the Hall of Fame.
And when you talk about your own necks, that means your own life.
That's right.
Because they were killing Christians in those days.
Now here's the Hall of Fame coming up. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. This is the verse I want you to look at. Salute Andronicus and Junia. If you look this up, this is a female name. Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among what? The apostles, who also were in Christ, what? Before me. Isn't that incredible?
Wow.
And he goes through all the rest of these names through here.
Did you read verse 3? Greet Priscilla.
Nope, didn't read it. It says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ. Now, Priscilla's mentioned first here, not the man, okay?
And that's a woman.
That's one. That's
and
right.
It's a husband and wife team.
Team together, that's right.
Husband and wife team, working together for the Lord.
That's right.
It says, she has been...
What?
Verse 2. Read that.
That ye receive her in the Lord. This is talking about Phoebe now, another female. As becometh saints, that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succour of many and of myself also. And then he says, greet Priscilla and Aquila. Now, if we close out this chapter, go over to verse 24.
Paul says, it also said Phoebe was a servant.
That's right, a servant. We should all remember we're not slaves. Some of these Bibles call us bond slaves. We're bond servants. If we were a slave, we'd be forced to do what we're doing, but we do it because we love the Lord.
And it says she was a servant of the church.
Of the church, that's right. We need to be that, don't we?
Yes,
verse
sir.
24 says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now listen to this. To him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. Who's this? Paul. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. What was the secret? The Gentiles and the kingdom of God with the Jews. One new man. Verse 26. But now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of what? Of the faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. So
praise
we have a
God.
Lot here in the Bible about women. And so though the first covenant, you know, everybody calls it the old covenant, but I call it the first covenant. There was many, many, many women that were used. We talked about Abigail the other
many
day.
Many women.
That helped King David, okay? And her husband, you know, his name was Nabal, and his name meant fool. And so he wound up dying because he didn't do what he should have been doing to help King David out. But his wife had the courage to go out and do it. Amen?
Abigail.
We talked about Ruth and Naomi, okay?
And
Ruth
what about
was a Gentile.
The scripture where it tells us before we're finished, we're running out of time, about no, there's neither male nor
female. Paul said that.
And that's let's read that. There's neither Jew nor Greek, right?
That's right.
But what we're all one in the Messiah.
That's right.
So you know, so there's we're all one. There's
that's
there's
right.
no male or female, because
right.
what we're born and we're all born of the Spirit, right?
Amen.
And this in the Spirit, there's no male or female.
That's it.
And so we're born of the Spirit. We're all born again. We must be born again to inherit the kingdom of God. We must, in Matthew 6:33, we must seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these things will be added unto us, right?
That's right.
What? The things that God wants us to have. The
That's
call
it.
That God wants us to have. What we're going to do in the kingdom. Because we're not here. This isn't our kingdom.
We're
this
just passing
earth.
Through.
Right. We're just right. Our kingdom
That's
is
right.
the kingdom. We're not members of the kingdom of the United States? No, we're members of the kingdom of heaven.
You got it.
And so we should be seeking those things that are above and not below.
That's right.
See, this earth is below. This earth is the Lord's footstool, right?
You got it.
And so, but we're to be seeking those things that are above and those heavenly things in the heavenly realm. So that's why we're spiritual beings, neither male or female, neither Greek nor Jew,
mm-hmm.
you know, neither black nor white, right? We're all one in the Lord, and
that's
because
right.
of the Spirit. So if we don't look at the sex so much, and we think about what we are,
it's
in
a
the
soul,
spirit of
a human
God,
being, yes.
Right? We're born again. And what's going to go to heaven? Our like you said, our soul. You know, God's not looking for. Well, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't say that.
Yeah.
But it's not a sexual thing.
That's right.
It's not a male or female thing. It's how God has made each one of us to fulfill that destiny. You know, there's certain things that men fulfill, and there's certain things that women fulfill, but we're all one in Christ, and now we're all born of the Spirit, and so that makes us spiritual beings.
Like Paul said, we're not neither bond nor free, male nor female, we're all part of the kingdom of God, and God will call whoever. And if they're willing to do what he wants, fine. If not, he'll go and choose somebody else to do the same thing.
It reminds me, Catherine Kuhlman
That's
said
right.
this, that God called many, three or four men before he called her, and they refused to do it. So, you know, that's why there's more women in the church than there are men, because more
right.
men refuse to do it than women.
So I tell people all the time, you know, when you get to heaven, if you don't like women and children, you're going to be in a bad place, because there's going to be a lot of women up there.
No male nor female, honey. We're all one.
A lot of children will be
spirit.
Up there.
So. No weddings in heaven, except
right.
the wedding of the Messiah.
The wedding of the Messiah.
Praise God. Well,
so
this is
we're running out of time here.
Pastors Gene
and Don.
Hope you
got something out of this.
Hilton, and we're just blessed to be on this radio program, WCNO. We're also on the internet, WCNO.com. You can listen to this again, and you can write the scriptures down, and then you can go and muse over those scriptures
Study
and see
yourself.
What the Lord shows you. And give us a call. Let us know what you think. We're just blessed to be here, and I want to mention that we do have services here in Stuart, Florida. We have Sunday morning services at 10 a.m., and we have Friday night services at 7 p.m., and we have communion, and we also do the Shabbat, and we spend time seeking God's presence with some Holy Ghost music, prophetic music, and we do have this afternoon, we will have a movie this afternoon at 4 o'clock, if you can come and make it. It's going to be about Israel and the miracles that God has done in Israel. It's really good. And so we're just blessed to be here again, and our phone number is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
So I'm going to close with this scripture for you. We're going to challenge you to be a Berean. The mm-hmm. Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If we look at this right, we're going to find out what God's wanting us to know. You women are free. So as we close, we tell you, as we always do, what, Pastor Donna? I tell you, look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. And what do we say, Pastor Donna?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.